Okay, councillors. Staff and representatives. The next staff. So, welcome to the January meeting of the Yarra Valley Council. Just a few things I have to read out. Evacuation details and information are located on the right hand side on the wall. In the unlikelihood of an emergency evacuation alarm or sound, and evacuation waters will assist with the evacuation. When directed, everyone will be required to exit in an orderly fashion through the front doors and go directly to the evacuation point, which is in the car park at the side of the town hall. Present, all of us, apologies, any apologies, Neil? Confirmation of the minutes, could somebody move, somebody second the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the Tuesday, 8th of December, be received and confirmed, please. Councillor Knott as the mover, seconder. Councillor Sheriff, thank you. I'll put the motion as stands. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands.
Aye.
Against, carried, unanimous, thank you. Would somebody like to move and somebody like to second the minutes of the special meeting of council held on Friday, the 15th of January, to be received and confirmed? Councillor Sheriff. Seconder, please. Councillor Kelly. Before we vote on the motion, General Manager, you have some update on that meeting and the minutes?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. As discussed following the special meeting the other day, there was some concern expressed around some of the representations made by members of the public were non-planning specific in nature and in fact were personal in nature, and that the concern extends to a public release of that information disclosed during those representations would not be in the public interest. So on that basis, a decision has been made to release the recording of the meeting with those representations involving the expression of private matters to be redacted from the recording.
Thank you, General Manager. On that basis, I'll put the motion as it stands. All those in favour of approving it, please say aye and raise your hands.
Aye.
Okay, unanimous. Thank you. Announcements by councillors. Sorry, announcements by mayor. It's listed. Announcements by councillors. Neil, declarations of interest.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Two, one from yourself in relation to infrastructure two, being the landowner of the proposed Homestead Lane meander. I've assessed the declaration and don't believe that it's a material conflict of interest. And for you to participate in the voting of that item.
Thank you.
Second declaration of interest from Councillor Bower in relation to Planning Authority 2. Councillor has declared that she helped Rotary Club to progress the application through cooperation with the Director of Works. I've also assessed that one and do not believe it's material conflict of interest that would prevent the councillor from participating in the assessment and voting of that planning matter.
Thank you, Jim. Public question time.
Now,
apologies.
The public question, everything's disappeared that I've done on here. So, just hold on a minute while I get it.
So there's public questions taken on notice are nil. Public questions with notice has been answered.
I've just got one.
Yes, I don't know what's happened.
Another one, public questions without notice, which is not in our agenda.
I've got it here, just a sec, I'll just turn it off.
Which is coming up.
All the stuff I did this morning has disappeared. Here we are. Your response, John. That's John's response.
That's my response. Yeah. Have you got the details of the question? No. I can read that.
That's a question.
Someone's changed all this stuff.
Well, I'll just bring it up online and read it.
Just a sec. Sorry about this, but all the rations have been changed.
Hey, do you want it?
Oh, is he here?
Send it.
He's here, is he?
Yeah.
Yep.
Apologies, I don't
just know. We can't bring the question up. I don't know if. Sorry?
I'll try and find it.
He's the same.
Sorry, it's.
I've got my answer.
They're all. It's been looked for. But if you've got it, if you've got it there, we'd like to put the question. That'd be good. We'll just get your microphone.
Yeah, can you?
Oh,
stuff's disappeared. Oh, changes. Remember. Just send it to.
My question is, what is the current thinking about the location of the Pontiac precinct? Is the council considering an alternative location for Alveston Drive? And is the council seeking community input about the location?
Yeah, thank you for the question. General Manager will respond.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Council has received the design of the pump track for Alveston Drive and is yet to consider the final location for the pump track, with both Alveston Drive and the former racetrack precinct of Deloraine being possibilities. As designed, the pump track will be more expensive than council anticipated. The construction budget has yet to be allocated and will be considered as a possible project in the budget for 2021 and 22. Consultation with the community about the design and location is likely to occur after funding is secured.
Thanks, General Manager. Okay. Councillor Question Time. Councillor Questions taken on notice, there is nil. Councillor Questions with notice, there is nil. Councillor Questions without notice. Councillor King.
Thank you. After a particularly abundant growing season, rabbit numbers and burrows are causing serious issues for many rural residents of the Meander Valley, particularly on the outskirts of Westwood. Ratepayers are receiving individual responses if they call to Pipwe's Invasive Species Branch, but Council has an opportunity to advocate for a greater level of engagement. Will Meander Valley Council write to the Invasive Species Branch to Pipwe and press for a collective response to the growing rabbit problem affecting Westbury and surrounds?
Thanks, Councillor King. Response, General Manager.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Short answer is yes, Councillor. We will write to express Council's concern and supportive action within Westbury and surrounds for engagement with the residents about the growth in population of rabbits and clarification as to what action can be taken directly by the residents as landowners, but also by DePipwe. We'll also extend an offer of holding a public information evening in council facilities so that transfer of skill and understanding can happen face-to-face rather than through correspondence.
Yes, General Manager. Any other questions? Council questions without notice? Councillor Turner.
My usual question, Mr. Mayor, for the record, has there been any update or further developments for the proposed prisons?
General Manager.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. No, Councillor.
Councillor, any other questions from councillors? Take that as no. Thank you. Okay, councillors, moving on. So, planning authority items for the purpose of considering.
Deputations.
Have I missed deputations by members of the public? Sorry. Are there any deputations by members of the public? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Moving on. So the purpose of considering the following planning authority items: Council is acting as the planning authority under provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. We have planning authority 1, 145 Hardy's Road, Western Creek. We have two representatives that I will ask to address council. But I ask you to come forward, I'll ask you to state your name and your address, and you have 3 minutes to address council. So I'll ask Roderick Dowling to come forward.
Thank you for allowing me to give this presentation. I'm the owner of the adjoining property. Just forgive me, I'm wearing my watch glasses and my different glasses in the car. I'm the adjoining owner of the property on Havens Road at Western Creek. We have an accommodation facility just about to open, and we have discretionary approval a number of years for that, as well as the residents which we live in also. Our objection is along the lines of the fact that even in the application that the applicants put forward, there was no reference at all to the fact that there is an accommodation facility. And even in aerial photos, etc., etc., that you might be able to see there now on the screen, there is no mention at all of the accommodation facility. And indeed, even in the wording, they refer only to A, as in single, residents which might be affected. There are, in fact, two major buildings. One is the residence we live in, the other is the major accommodation facility which has been built in the last 18 months, and I find that those plans, etc., are quite outdated. I find that the planners have earned and recommend the approval for that reason, and the application refers only to, as I say, the residents and not the multiple buildings which are currently there and visible. As an alternative, I guess in wanting to find some sort of a way through this, there's been no recommendation. The planners have recommended approval, as you can see. My peace offering would be to say, look, we would be okay with a properly constructed and fenced green boundary of at least 4 eucalypt trees deep, and professionally fenced so that their goats, sheep, calves, horses, chooks, don't destroy them like they have the ones that they have put there. Just so that at least that we can have a sight and sound barrier to look forward to. So I guess that's the essence of my what I want to say about it. Ideally, we're not really happy about it being approved. I think that discretionary, under the terms that we got out, would also affect neighbouring properties anyway. And so, to also get discretionary on this property which is seeking approval, would have to take in the fact that my already approved discretionary application has gone ahead and does have an effect on the property.
Yeah, thanks, Roger. I'll ask Lynn to come forward. 3 minutes, Lynn.
Biggie, isn't it?
I haven't really prepared. But I guess there are concerns because we've invested so much money and
They've actually put sheds right close to the fence, and we can actually see, because we're elevated, we can see straight into their sheds, and there's so much more area they could use, but they've planted them right in the view from our main accommodation building. We've had trouble with dogs barking. Even when we come out of our house, they barked, so we've had to actually complain about that, and we don't like complaining. But, yeah, just trying to find a way forward that's good for both of us, I guess. That's another thing. And to investing all this money just to have it really not so close to the actual building that's when you look down. And it's more about elevation. I guess being out there, you can get reduced. We come out onto our balcony and down straight onto all their sheds. And it's fine, no farm. And we love the animals around and stuff like that. But there is a way that they can be tighter. I think that's it.
Okay. Thanks, Lynn. Thanks for that. No other representatives. Okay. Applicant's not here, no. But going forward, somebody like to move the motion as it stands? Councillor Cameron. A seconder for the motion? Second of the motion?
Right. I'll second as it goes forward.
Thank you, Councillor Knott. Councillor Cameron has moved the motion.
I don't plan on saying anything, but my views are it's probably a relatively straightforward planning application. We have in the past requested people to do screening as part of the recommendation, so I'll consider that possibly. What other people excuse that.
Thanks, Councillor. Knopf is a second of the motion.
I'll wait.
You'll wait? Okay, thank you. Open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Keane?
Yeah, in line with previous applications, I concur with Councillor Cameron's suggestion of a recommendation for some visual and potentially noise screening vegetation to be put in place. So if we can accommodate that, I'll be more happy to support it.
Thanks, Councillor King. Councillor Kelly?
On page 20, I'm assuming you've seen an area that looks like tree plantings that's on the Dowling's property. My logical brain would think that there's probably land on the Dowling's property that they could plant some extra trees to create some screening rather than put a conditional development.
Thanks,
Councillor.
Councillors, comments? Questions to the planners? I'll ask a question of the planners then. Was any other conditions thought about regarding screening going forward to be put forward on this application? Or
through you, Mr.
Mayor. You've got the done one.
This is broken.
Come on, I'll just speak loudly.
Use the microphone.
Liam Johnson. That's all
right. Through you, Mr. Mayor. As part of my assessment on this application, I did look at the visual vista from the visitor accommodation looking down onto the valley. Yes, the houses will be seen from that accommodation, but as you can see from my photo too, it's quite a wide vista, and it's only going to be one small portion of the rural area over here that's going to be on the house. The house itself is going to be dug in, and the views of the house are facing away from the visitor accommodation, so I felt that extra screening wasn't perhaps needed in this instance. Just wanted to mention that if extra screening is considered today, that it should also be noted that bushfire measures would need to be in place when the house is built, so just to be mindful if that's the avenue that you wish to travel down.
Thanks, Sarah. Councillors, any other questions? Councillor Cameron?
So by that, you mean that the current bushfire report wouldn't be the same if there was extra trees?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Basically, at the moment, it hasn't been decided by the councillors for this meeting. If there's going to be screening, of where that screening would go. But if screening was to be near the house, that's one thing you need to consider, is that for bushfire protection purposes, they only have some sort of clearing around the house. So it's just something to be mindful of, that's all.
If the other, just in regards to the visitors' accommodation, if that was a dwelling, if that was their main house, would the rules change?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. In this particular zone, it's rural resource zone. And when we look at the setback requirements for that zone, under 26.4.1, buildings must be set back so that the use is not likely to constrain adjoining foreign industry operations, having regard to many factors. So when you've got two houses that aren't, well, especially one of them, the visitor accommodation is related to foreign industry activity, the setback requirement for a certain distance is no longer there. You don't need to have the $200 setback required anymore. So basically it just comes down to the fact that I don't see the house they're proposing as being an issue. It's just more that it can be seen from the visitor accommodation above. When the visitor accommodation was being assessed many years ago when that application came in, they too had an agricultural report that said that the setback distance they were proposing for that boundary was adequate what they wanted to do. So from an agricultural point of view, I can't see a problem with the positioning of the house. It all just comes down to the visual appearance of it from the visitor accommodation.
Thanks, Councillor Knott.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Obviously, a farming area, farming activities. I've seen what the planner has said. I can see that it's limited visibility, exposure and so on. I guess the other point is that while it can be seen, it's a wide arc. I guess one of the key points might be that should there be an appeal and so on, further down that point, most likely because of the nature of the topography and the agricultural activity and so on, that it's unlikely, in my view, to succeed. I do feel sorry for the sense of some sanity in that sense, but the agricultural building, particularly when it's topography, one building is higher than the other, there will always be visibility that will affect. But I guess that the canvas said it has to be part of the government anyway. And I guess that over time, whether it's vegetation and so on, or shrubs, what's the name, not be as visible in the future. So I'm supportive of the application.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Sherriff.
Although I do have sympathy for the Dowlings for their vista or view to be changed by this proposal, I think it's unreasonable to make the applicant put screen on their property considering they don't have an issue with their outlook. Obviously the screening can be done on the Dowlings side.
Sheriff, councillors? No, sorry, can't take questions from the floor.
Sorry? The point's been missed. I only wanted to...
Sorry. Can't accept it from the floor. Councillor Sidwell?
Given the lay of the land, is there somewhere outside the bushfire relevant area, 20 or 40 metres or whatever, that would screen the house with minimal effort in terms of the view from the visitor accommodation? secondly, what kind of height of tree, other than one that's there in front of the visitor accommodation, so in other words, fairly minor in their viewscape, that would screen the house on their side. Is there somewhere on their side? And as Councillor Kelly pointed out, there is some apparent tree planting being done in between, but is that likely to grow and what species are tall enough to actually achieve that task? In other words, the closer to the visitor accommodation screening is, the bigger the screening impact is on the visitor accommodation. Is there somewhere in between that is of a minor nature that actually achieves the aim? And are the other buildings and structures that were referred to by the representative in the viewscape anyway? Between problem but not all.
Through you, Mr. Van. Some of the buildings that I think are of concern, perhaps the ones that are close to the fence line, the shed fence line. The representatives have planted some plants along that boundary, which may over time help to obscure some of those buildings. I don't necessarily think that the plantings on the representatives' land would be able to obscure the house that's being built because of the topography of the land, as you can see in photo 2. So whether there is the ability to put screening plants on the subject land that's further away from their house, that might provide some screening, that's perhaps a possibility.
That's 40 or 50 metres, so outside the bushfire areas where it's not
right to that. Through you, Mr. Mayor, I couldn't guarantee that it would serve the purpose. Like there may be an opportunity to put some screen there, but whether it actually achieves the height, because the visitor accommodation is higher up looking down, I don't know.
Councillor Tennant?
Well, to test this issue, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move an amendment to the motion that there be a condition that there be some screening, perhaps say 40 or 50 metres from the dwelling that obscures the dwelling and the outbuildings from, and associated outbuildings from the major's property.
Thanks, Councillor Temple. We'll have to have that in writing as a motion, I imagine, Councillor.
I suppose you the mover and the seconder are prepared to adopt it as part of the motion.
So, the amendment.
Question to you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Locke.
Whereabouts would the screen, whereabouts would the screen be?
Well, the stupid question would be halfway between the house and the boundary.
Can you just start through the microphone, Councillor Locke?
Just whereabouts might the screen be, Councillor Timson?
From what I understand, Councillor, topography is such that if it was at the boundary, it sort of wouldn't be high enough to afford screening. So, therefore, I'm talking somewhere outside the bushfire zone, at that level within the property, where it would seem that the topography is such that it would still afford screening.
Councillor Ivey, microphone still on. Councillor Cameron.
I wouldn't be willing to put a requirement on people's for somewhere. My thoughts were possibly on the boundary, but I wouldn't be willing to go down that other path.
So you're not supporting the councillor's motion? Okay. Councillor Knoll is not supporting neither. So the mover and the second of the motion are not supporting.
Can I make a
comment at this stage? Not just at my own, Councillor Kim.
Could I ask Mr. Mayor if there is a second to my amendment?
I just need the GM to clarify on what may be involved by moving a motion and whether we may have to get further reports done if the motion goes ahead.
I need to know the words.
What is his motion? And you may need to give Marilyn a copy of the motion. Councillor Temple, please, if possible, if you write it down. Councillor King, you have a query?
Just a comment. As the conversation progresses and we get further down the road to understanding what's going on here, I'm wondering if we might backtrack and ask the neighbours to talk to one another and perhaps suggest some screening on the boundary, which is, it sounds like where we're meant to go, and something that's mutually agreed to, but we can avoid the planning scheme with.
That's a possibility depending on how we vote for this particular motion, I'm sure. Councillor Temple is writing out his motion. I'll put the motion forward and ask for a second when that comes forward, but the mover and second of the motion have not agreed to change, so. Councillor
Sindhu. On figure one, just for reference, the A, where is the visitor accommodation, and B,
Temple, extra condition that additional screening outside the bushfire zone be provided, the direction of neighbourhood visitor accommodation so to obscure new developments from the said visitor accommodation. I'll ask for a seconder to that motion. Would you like to second that motion?
I'm going to love you.
Sorry. that adequate vegetation screening outside the bushfire zone be provided. A second of the motion. Anybody want to second that motion? Councillor Sindhu, second that motion. Okay. Councillor Sindhu, a second of the motion, would you like to speak to the motion?
More words than
that. Yes, thank you for having us talk, Councillor. Yep, okay. So we'll wait for the motion to be put.
Be provided.
On the screen, that is. Yeah, I'm sure she'll get it.
In that direction, is it?
Yeah, of the neighbouring visitor accommodation. So as to obscure new development from
said visitor
accommodation. Obscure line of sight. Mm-hmm. Line of sight. To the new development from the existing visitor accommodation.
So, Councillor Temple is the mover of the motion. You happy with the motion as it's put there? That would basically involve moving a new motion, because that's the motion that Councillor Temple put up.
And
you've seconded it.
Well, if the movers were happy to what I haven't seen, I said so we can see in the motion, which was only part of the way through the
condition. It's an amended condition.
General Manager, clear us up for us. Where are we at?
I'm treating this currently as an amending motion by inclusion of an additional condition, and therefore it sits under the existing motion that's before council and doesn't need to, in itself, as a condition, specify address and everything else. So it's a subordinate component to the parent.
Okay. Planners, do you have any comments? Sorry to put it on you like that, but for the reason of debate.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, as with all conditions, they need to be enforceable and they need to be clear so that anybody who picks up can fully understand what is required. in the wording that's there, I'd be hesitant to support that as a condition because there's not enough information in there to be specific about what's required. Because you say the direction of the neighbouring visitor accommodation, again, I would have an address there so it was specific to that visitor accommodation, not to anybody else's visitor accommodation. I'm a little bit concerned about what's required, like adequate screening that is open to interpretation.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks for your comments. So, Councillor Sinfield, are you happy with the motion as it stands? Do you have reservations?
Yes.
Are you happy with it?
I've got reservations like this.
Yeah.
Not specific enough. I mean, normally we would refer to the mature height of the vegetation such that it provides screen, landscape plan.
Right. Councillor Sheriff?
I think we've got the gist of what they're intending to do. Can we vote on that motion and then clarify the details of it?
We need to clarify because the planner has just stated it's very open-ended. So discussion, Councillor Cameron, Councillor Kelly.
So this is an amendment, not condition to the current motion. So if I'm to vote no, what am I
voting
against? You're voting
against that particular amendment.
So can we get on with that then?
That's all you
just asked. Councillor Kelly.
I just think this is overcomplicating what we had before us, which is a relatively simple development, and I won't assume an amendment.
Thank you. Councillor Murray, motion to move.
Well, on the advice of the planners, I'm quite happy to put in the actual address of the accommodation, if that helps. Remove the word adequate. I don't know if the secondary would be happy with that.
Sindhu as the secondary?
Yes.
So we rank the motion.
Yeah. Okay, through you, Mr. Mayor. We just need to work the wording of the motion. So, the last sentence, Marilyn Chains, new development from the existing business centre accommodation at, and put the neighbours addressing.
At 145. Right.
And then I'd suggest one alternative to adequate screening. My problem with Mr. Mayor is that it's fairly vague in terms of the applicant knowing exactly what to do, and it creates a level of confusion as to where a screening requirement starts and where it ends. And perhaps the way to deal with that is to have the requirement that to the satisfaction of the planners that they submit a screening plan. Because obviously there's questions of topography, and it would be very easy to spiral down into a conflict situation as to screening should go from point A to point B and be of a certain height in terms of mature growth, etc. So I don't think the motion as written achieves a certain limit need, and in the absence of an ability to resolve that today, perhaps the appropriate thing to do is to craft the motion in a way that requires the applicant to submit a screening plan at a future date.
Well, I take your advice on board, Jim. I'm actually going to put the motion to see whether there is actually support for the motion as it stands.
Which one?
So I'll put this amended motion as it stands at the moment. So all those in favour of the amended motion, please say aye or raise your hands. Simple. Councillor Simple, Councillor Temple. So the motion is lost. We now go back to the original motion as it stands. Councillor Kelly.
Mayor, I'd like to move a procedural motion and a motion to the court.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Kelly. I'll put the motion as it is in the agenda. Sorry, you need to accept that. Would somebody like to second it? Councillor Cameron, thank you, would like to second that procedural motion. On that basis, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against, Councillor Temple is against. The motion is carried as it sits. Thank you. Okay, planning authority two. You can leave if you don't wish to continue for the rest of the night. Thank you, or anyone else that wants to leave. Thank you. Okay, planning authority two. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second, somebody like to move to start. Sorry, we have a representative. I do apologise. Harley, you've got 3 minutes to come forward. And
application. My name's Harvey Nichols, 169 Dexter Street, Westbury. I'm the president of the Rotary Club that's proposing to build this barbecue shelter. I just note that one of the applicant's objections read as this: we note that the barbecue structure will be sited directly opposite the entry to our property on the edge of the green on the western edge and will thus impact on our privacy. Yesterday I went to down the green and had a look. I took a photograph, and if you wanted to pass this round, you look at the photograph and see that, that is not correct. The barbecue is not being built directly opposite the entrances to their house. In fact, there are two entrances to their house. One is a solid timber gate about 6 foot tall, so no one can see through that gate. The other one is a driveway, people certainly can, but neither of these entrances are directly opposite where the barbecue is being built. Would you like to me to activate this and pass it around and have a look at it?
No, thanks. I'll take your word for that.
But that's all I really want to say. Yeah. The Rotary Club's very enthusiastic about building this barbecue shelter. I believe there is a spare barbecue that the council has as a result of an insurance claim on the barbecue that used to be on the town common. So that's the barbecue that will be used. Okay. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Alan. Okay. Somebody like to move motions? No, I think the camera was up first.
She just
beat you. Second up. As a mover of the motion, Councillor Cameron.
No, just to congratulate the Rotary Club on the work that they've put in for this. I think it'll be a great asset for the community, and so I really appreciate their hard work.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. Councillor Bauer.
Pretty much the same comments. I think it's always fantastic when we have a community group willing to try and beautify our areas and allow more people to enjoy the spaces that we have. And I know that they have also taken into consideration the heritage component in relation to the village green, and will actually be designing the shelter in the same manner as the tables and chairs. So it will fit in really nicely. And I think it'll be a great asset for the Westbury community as well as anyone visiting.
Thanks, Councillor Bauer. Councillor Knott.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My thoughts are similar. Could I say that as per agenda, Rotary Club sought approval from the Heritage Commission, Heritage Council, sorry, and that was approved without conditions. In addition to that, no doubt the Rotary Club members, board and so on, would have considered given it great thought in order to put there and do the screen, because it's a very special area for Westbury. noise would be somewhat similar to what uses when you use that, and I guess that having a roof would make it more beneficial for those using it. I can understand that perhaps it's a, there might not be any other roofed building or structure on that site. The other point of view is that it does not, it might be seen a little detrimental by the representative to represent us, but overall I think that there was a lot more to be said in favour of putting it there for the use of the community and the use of the Rugby Club, so I'll be supporting it. Thank you.
Councillor, any other councillors? Councillor Temple.
My question is through you, Mr. Mayor. Are any of the near neighbours likely to be affected by noise or smells emanating from this barbecue?
That's a question for you, gentlemen. Or?
Only if
they burn the steak, according to the deputy mayor.
Look, I think it is a barbecue in an open area. I think the proximity to neighbouring properties is, I suggest, less than would affect people's own amenity on their properties. And, short answer is I don't think so, but I guess it's a subjective thing. And what I may think is reasonable, others may think is unreasonable, but in terms of proximity to housing, scale of the installation and the frequency of use, I think the short answer is no.
Thank you, General Ranger. I think it's a great initiative put forward by the Western Rotary Club, and I'll be supporting the motion going forward. Councillors, anything else? Any other discussion, comments? Thank you, Councillor Bower, a second motion.
Yes, I'll just make the comment that it never really made sense to me to have the barbecue down at the Town Common where it was originally, and this is no one really used it that I ever saw. Having it near the playground on a village green where people congregate is a much more sensible solution for our community to get together.
Councillor Bower, Councillor Cameron. Thank you. Okay, shall I put the motion? All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. All those against? Okay, Councillor. Against. Thank you. Right. Planning Authority 3, 12 Mentioned Drive, Rockstone Heights. Would you like to move that? Oh, sorry, I'm not sure about that. How are we too?
Got someone to speak to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. Say it. Now, before we put the motion, I've got Ross Harrison here to speak. If you wish, Ross, you've got 3 minutes to address council at 2 minutes and 30 seconds. I'll hit the bell. That's enough.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to get some advice, please, from council. I'm fully aware that, council is supporting development. However, on Thursday, I received an email that had some recommendations from council that I haven't just had any time at all to get to. This was Thursday night. I feel that I should have been given more time and had the recommendations discussed over the period of time that we had during December and January. I'm not 100% sure what the process is from here, and I would like your advice. If I run with these recommendations, unfortunately I'll have to withdraw the entire application and resubmit it all over again. The best outcome for me would be if the councils don't go with these recommendations and instead direct Joe to discuss these issues with myself through the Tasmanian Planning Commission. It might be a better process. Notwithstanding the fact that we have representations, I understand that. My planning representative, Shane Wills, submitted a response to those representations, and I'm sure every council member has them. There's no good me going over the same things over again. I've got quite a lot of things here that I could discuss, but it does depend a little bit on, not a little bit, a lot, on the decision that you make with regard to the recommendations that council brought to me on Thursday night. I'd just like to ask council if they're fully aware of those recommendations and given them all very serious consideration. And I'll leave it at that until I'll get direction from you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ross. Direct the query back to Joel.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. To go directly to some of Mr. Harrison's points, those recommendations that you have before you, I sent you an explanation of why those recommendations were being made by myself to Ross and his consultant, Shane Wells, who prepared the report. On the day that the agenda was wrapped up. As Council's aware, the assessment of representations is a statutory process, and the assessment of the proposed amendment in light of those representations and the matters that they raise is a statutory requirement as part of the process. So, in terms of timing, because of the Christmas break and the timing, etc., and I spent some time going over the site with Ross the week that we finished over Christmas in detail, in order that I might sit down and work through each of the representations, many of which were quite detailed, in detail. So it takes time to, in consideration of all of that information, to form a professional opinion as to where it all comes out in the wash. And so, as a planning authority, when we put something out for public notification and those representations come in, we're required to take an objective view. It's not a process of negotiation with the developer at that point. We're required to take an objective view on the basis of the information submitted in the application against our strategic stated objectives in our strategic documents, such as the structure plan, regional land use strategy. And we're also required to take into account public representations. So, in the report, I've been at pains to discuss each matter in detail and clearly conclude that it's still a good proposal. It's still a good project. It just, in my view, in order to meet all of those obligations, many of those obligations were raised by some representatives. And in considering it in detail, and looking at the site in detail, and the proposal in detail, making some professional judgments about whether or not modifications should be made to meet our stated strategic obligations in a way that's pragmatic and does not diminish the viability of the development. So in my view, those recommendations form my opinion as to where I landed in that regard. Now, I only landed on that on the week the agenda was due, because there's quite a bit of work in it. It's just not something that I can come up with in a minute. You know, it takes quite a bit of consideration and some good understanding of the site. It's still a really good proposal in essence. It's a proposal that is a better response to the topography of the site than any standard subdivision development that Ross could walk in with tomorrow under the current provisions. So I still support it in its essence and in its intent. In my view, there's nothing in this that compromises the feasibility or the viability. It might not be exactly what Ross wants, but there's, as a planning authority, we have to take a look at it from all points of view. Public benefit is an issue, in my view. Yes, there's public benefit to development, broadly and economically speaking. Yes, there is. And there's no doubt that this development provides that. But there's also that same public benefit of economic development with a standard subdivision. And a standard subdivision is required to provide public open space for that public benefit. The recommendation that I've made, I consider to be very modest in the scheme of things, in terms of the overall value of the development, but I consider it to be important. It addresses many of the concerns raised in the representations, questioning what the public benefit is to the area if there is no public open space, because ordinarily there would be. It's a fair question. So, to my mind, the recommendations represent a reasonable middle road, some fine-tuning to a proposal that doesn't compromise its feasibility. There was just no feasible way to come to all of that conclusion without putting it off for another month, which I know that Ross didn't want to do, and get it there. So I provided a detailed explanation on each and every one of those recommendations to Ross and Shane on the morning the agenda was uploaded, when it was all wrapped up and finalised. It wasn't appropriate for me to do that before then, because we're in a planning authority process. As I said, it's not a negotiation. To explain the thinking and why I landed where I did. I don't need to do that as a professional officer. This is the process where we consider that, but given the long process of iteration on this, it was courtesy, given the work that had been put in. I provided councillors with the same explanation via email on the same day, at the same time actually, because it had gone a little bit further than the last conversation we had about this in the workshop. So the process from here is that council's decision today is an opinion. It's an opinion of the planning authority, and it goes onto the table down at the planning commission. Ross's opinion has equal value and weight in the process. He can go to the Tasmanian Planning Commission and argue against each and every one of those for whatever reason. He and his planning consultant, Shane, they can do that. That's fine, that's the process. Everybody's an individual in the process with equal standing, as can each and every one of the representatives. And the Tasmanian Planning Commission will act as the independent decision maker, and they will balance all of those views against our strategic statements and our strategic objectives documented in our structure plan and the regional land use strategy, and then they will make a decision. And as we've discussed before, the process of hearing at the Tasmanian Planning Commission is, you know, nothing short of the Spanish Inquisition. It is a grueling process. And council is required absolutely to demonstrate how, in making its decision, it complies with its own strategic documents. Well, as I highlight in the report, there are some obligations and statements in that document that require a little bit more attention in order to be able to demonstrate compliance, in my view. Now, the applicant can go to the TPC and say, that's over the top, it's an over the top interpretation, it's not necessary. Council can form that view if you want to. This is where I've landed as the professional officer. Council can make a recommendation for a modification if it so chooses. If you think I'm being over the top, or if you want additional ones, you know, that's council's choice. This is my recommendation to you. But in terms of the process, this is by no means an end stage. It's just merely an opinion in the process. And it will all be fleshed out at the table at the TPC. And the TPC, you know, Ross and Shane may make an argument that none of that is necessary, and the TPC may agree, or they may agree with us, or they may agree with representatives that we don't go far enough. You know, it's good horse for courses, who knows where they're going to swing, but I can tell you categorically, if we can't demonstrate that we have signed off on each and every one of these statements in some way, and I've addressed it, this will fail. That's
what I've got my eye on when I make these recommendations.
Thanks, Sean.
Okay.
We've had that discussion before.
I think we need to move and we need to set down forward. So, I'll ask for a mover. And then we'll have to have a discussion as we go through.
Excuse me, but...
No, sorry, can't take from the floor. I'm sorry.
But he's a representative.
No, I'm a representative. Sorry, were you wanting to represent?
Yeah.
Yes.
But you got to move on second before...
Yeah, good. Sorry, I haven't dropped your name on the list. I'm sorry. That's why.
I rang up and put my name on the list and
commanded. Okay, well, we're going to move and see it yet so we can have representatives come forward. So, sorry, it's not there. I'll ask you to come forward, sorry. And you've got 3 minutes to address the council. Not so often, do we?
No.
Do we?
Hmm?
We don't move in second before we have discussion. No.
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 Sorry, if I got wrong, this is in relation to Neptune.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, it hasn't got through to us. So, apologise for that.
Thanks.
I just have to get the state's name and address, and you've got 3 minutes.
Thanks. So, mine's George Pitt, I'm 22 Canopus, by Industrial Heights. Missing an interest in the last conversation. So, we've made a representation, and I guess these comments are in addition or should be considered alongside that representation that we made. So, as I understand it, the resource management planning system in Tasmania requires that a development of this nature maintains or doesn't diminish the the current level of social, economic, and cultural well-being of the community which is proposed. And if you look at representations, I think that have been submitted for this proposal, they've identified several areas which would indicate that this is not the case. And I guess one stands out for me is in the context of this development and the other two or three that are proposed in this area. The fact that we might have another 7,000 cars going down one road, Country Club Avenue and Bishop Road and Casino Road, that's a good indicator that's maybe not being considered appropriately. The environmental, aesthetic, and amenity arguments that the council and the developer are making in regards to private open space and environmental benefit that this proposal will deliver, we're of the view that should not be considered. In the sense that once this application is approved, it makes this whole area zoned high density residential. But the balance of the land remains in private hands and will be further developed at a later date, thus negating the supposed benefits that are currently being used to support the development as it stands. So unless the balance of the land is permanently locked up from development, the proposal is no more than a high-density housing proposal. On page 154, the council make the argument that it's important that in the longer term, the aims of the structure plan are respected. And I couldn't agree more on the strong consistency of the argument across all issues. One example is the structure plan states that for this cluster of residential development areas will accommodate clusters of residents placed within a high amenity environment. The overall density of the cluster residential areas will be low and responsive character of the surrounding area. In developing a specific area plan, it should be done in partnership with landholders. It talks about housing density should respond to the character of the local area in consideration with the interface of the existing residential areas of Blackstone Heights, and that lower density housing should be promoted away from the service or activity centre. If you look at the design layout of what's proposed, that's clearly not what's happening. And I note that the council have commented on some of their medium density housing in the southern end of the south, but they haven't commented on the high density housing proposed for the northern end of the south, which directly impacts our house.
3 minutes, George, or even up 30 seconds.
Noise impacts and, sorry, I'll start again. Multiple statements, which dismiss the representative's views, I think need to be reconsidered and challenged by the council. Additional 84 houses is not negligible when it comes to the noise creation, and the statement that the vehicle's nests are abandoned is repudiated by the experts in the information provided to them, yet it's been ignored and the discussion has been put forward.
Thanks, George.
And is consistent with the area that we're in. And the relationship that the northern end where the hill is, that Ross is intending to put high density housing on, has a relationship with the Trevellyn Reserve. It's in it goes down to a gully. You can hear ours from the Hoo Hoo Hut in the Trevellyn Reserve. So imagine what it's like if you're hearing all these houses being developed. No one is against development in Blackstone Heights. What we're appealing to you for is to consider the type of development. And we're asking for you to enable the lifestyle that we all treasure there and the style of housing that we have there. And we're all there because we love our wildlife. And the area that Ross is looking at developing has natural wildlife in it. And we do still see the eagles, we do still see the owls, and I can attest to that because they come and hunt my ducks. So we are appealing to you to consider that he is trying to develop for an area that is not consistent with Blackstone Heights. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I gather, Amanda, it was Amanda Pitt.
Yes,
thanks, Mr. Mayor. Joe, just a question of process in terms of the way forward on this. I understand that there's been a relatively short period of time to consider the matters in the report. Can the process accept an extension of time with the consent of the applicant or otherwise? Is the first question I have in terms of clarifying the way forward.
So the statutory time frame for providing the report in response to the representations is set down in the Act. We've been granted an extension once already by the TPC to get it to today's meeting because that time frame actually ran out about a week and a half ago. They've given us an extension until the 23rd of January. Okay, so that being said, if we defer today's decision, there's no penalty per se of not meeting the statutory time frame. I can just advise the TPC accordingly. There's nothing that you need to. And by the time they did do something, we would be back at the table anyway. Presumably in another month is what you're talking about, deferring it to the next month's meetings.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. I guess the second question, just generally to the councillors, is prior to putting the motion, is there a sense that extra time would be of benefit in considering this matter or not?
Councillor Kelly.
Look, I must admit I was surprised by the developer that he hadn't been fully over this and would have been contacted previous, which is a little bit unfortunate. I have an appetite to defer it because I think it's not something that's small, it's relatively a large item, and I think it's important to get it right. Not 100% comfortable that we have got it right. So I'd be interested in deferring it if the development was okay to February's meeting.
Thanks, Councillor Joy. Councillor Knott.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm disappointed that this matter's taken this turn. Because as far as the Planning Commission is concerned, as I understand it, every person has the opportunity to put the case to the Planning Commission, including this draft amendment from the Annabelle Council, plus developer Ross Harrison, plus any representative. And they will determine and deliberate on what's presented. Disappointed in this sense that I'd be disappointed if Mr. Harrison didn't proceed, because I think some of the ideas were innovative and outside the square. I had the opportunity to look over the site. I do have some reservations though, in a sense that the representations that we've received. The other point that I'd like to make is that our senior strategic planner, Joe Oliver, has put those modifications forward from the developers in good faith. in order to take to proceed with this to the planning commission. So I'd be disappointed if the developer didn't continue. I've had, like lots of the councillors around the table in the last few days, had contact from the representatives. In fact, my name appears twice in the pages here, in the comments I made about 95 lots at One Panorama Road, where I said there were some shortcomings. There are some shortcomings in the sense that the traffic count and the traffic and the road network needs addressing. That's one factor. As you saw, as you can see in the report that Joe Oliver has in front of us today, it indicates the modifications. I guess that Mr. Harris would believe it's gone too far, but I think it's in good faith that Joe has presented that to us. I'm sorry if Mr. Harris doesn't agree with me on that point. But the point that I make is that the representatives deserve to be heard. Ross Harrison deserves to be heard at the Planning Commission. And every person has that right. Joe has put something on the table for us to follow, and I'd be disappointed if Ross walked away from this, because I think that there are many, many good things and features about it. I think there's features that can be worked through, so I'd be disappointed if that happened. But that's the situation as I see it. And the points about traffic consultation, there's been some consultation, granted, but there are some facts that Joe has presented to us that need to be addressed, and that the structure plan is quite clear when I first went to council and so on. So let's leave it at that.
Okay, I'll go around to councillors, Ross. Sorry. No right reply at the moment, I'm sorry. Councillor Bower.
So I just have a question for Joe. If we had another month, would that have changed your opinion and what you've put in front of us?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, not alone, Councillor. And thanks for asking. It was sort of a point I needed to raise in terms of deferral. I have no problem with deferral for people to get their heads around what it is I'm recommending, because, yeah, it's all been a pressing time, with Christmas and everything. But you know me well enough to know that I don't make these sorts of recommendations lightly, and I only do it after chewing over the detail of a proposal again and again and again. And I can honestly tell you it plagued my thoughts all through Christmas. So, it's the strategic planning process and the calling for representations is a really important part of the strategic planning process and part of the democratic process. It's a high order process of engaging everybody and trying to bring everybody along. So in terms of a deferment of time for people to try and get their heads around what it is I'm saying, what I'm recommending and why, I'm happy to provide more detail in terms of that recommendation if people don't think I've gone further enough. But that's where I've landed, and I've got good reasons as to why, and what I know in my bones is coming from the TPC. And to protect this council's interests in defence of our strategic documents for our own probity as a planning authority, but also in proper regard to a good quality proposal together with well thought out and made submissions from the public. It's a delicate balancing act, and not one I've done lightly, and those recommendations will not be changing from there. But I'm happy to provide more detail if people want a bit more detail.
Thanks, Joe. Councillor Sheriff.
I don't believe it's fair on the applicant to defer another month. My faith in Joe's recommendations by us approving this today still would be fleshed out with the Planning Commission, so we're not approving it to go ahead today, so I'll support Joe's recommendations on it.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other comments, questions, Councillor? We can. I can put the motion if that's what the Council want. Councillor Kelly?
Could I ask Joe a question?
Yes, you can.
The recommendations, which the one or two do you think that doesn't sit very comfortably with the applicant context and pointed out for us?
With the developer, sorry.
I don't know, Councillor. It's not provided any communication to me. I know the presentation you just heard from Ross in terms of him not being happy with the range of the recommendations. I don't know if there are any number or all of them. I don't know.
Okay. All right, Councillor Sindhu.
Yeah, I don't agree with anything being gained by deferral. I didn't agree with the original proposal that was put to us as it stood. I think there's some great elements within it. And I don't agree with the recommended operations either. So, I don't know anyway, but I don't see what you would gain by months.
Okay. Your Councillor Chumper, you want to say?
Yeah. Conversely, I supported deferral, so that this is going anywhere today, and the deferral may allow some issues to be resolved.
We have to do a vote on who's going to do it.
There's
I'd say we'll split down the middle, if that's the case. I'm actually going to put the motion as it stands. I'm going to ask for a move in a second. No,
just clarify if I can.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor. Are we governed by time frames as far as this amendment to the Planning Commission?
Yes. So we'll put the motion. I'll ask for somebody to move and somebody to second. Councillor Sheriff moves. Second for the motion, Councillor Cameron. Thank you. Councillor Sheriff has moved the motion.
No, I've said no, please.
Thank you. Councillor Cameron.
I think we need to move forward on this. I think it's so complex that neither one side or the other is going to walk out of here today happy, but I am happy that it'll be going to the Planning Commission where we will all have our equal share in the discussion and hopefully the outcome will be good for everything.
Thanks, Councillor Bower.
So just in relation, Joe, I just want to ask a couple of questions in relation to the concerns that have been raised by the representors. In particular, the one that stands out for me is around low density versus high density development. And I know that obviously Blackstone currently sits at around a 1600 kind of lot, which is considered low density. Your recommendation is 1200, which the representor's view is then moving to a high density development. Can you explain that a little bit for us, please?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So the concepts of density when you're talking about Blackstone Heights is a bit muddled in terms of standard planning terms and also some of the terms that are in our documents. So Blackstone Heights is zoned low density residential, but as I point out in the report, there's a whole mixture of a range of lot size. Some of them sort of range from half hectare to a hectare, which are very large. And then there's quite a number that are in the sort of 1,500 to 2,000 square metre bracket. And then there's quite a bunch that are down around the 1,000 to 1,500 sort of level, notably Glover Avenue adjoining this particular development, which also has some multi-unit dwellings in a sort of historic leftover. So in the interim planning scheme, the minimum lot size allocation is 1,600 square metres. In the Tasmanian planning scheme, which is coming in a few weeks in the Amber Valley, it'll be an acceptable solution of 1,500 square metres with a minimum cap of
of 1,200 square metres, so you won't be able to subdivide any lower than 1,200 square metres. Now, in the structure plan, it talks about, in regards to this cluster development, it talks about medium density as being 500 square metres. That's actually a very small, what we would ordinarily call a high density type lot size, even in a normal residential area. So, I would regard the acceptable lot sizes in both schemes as being sort of 1,500. I've calculated at 1,200 because that's the minimum cap under the Tasmanian planning scheme, and I think that's virtually guaranteed because of the criteria in the Tasmanian planning scheme. So my rubbery numbers are based on 1,200 because I think that's the eventuality. They're actually what I would call an urban density size lot. They're not, even though it's a low density residential zone, that's what the Tasmanian planning scheme is tagged. It is really urban in appearance. If you look, for example, at the Glider Avenue lots at around about 1,000 square metres and plenty of other lots in Blackstone Heights that are around 1,500 square metres, it's not a huge difference from a normal suburban density environment. I think some of the representative issues for Blackstone are that there's a lot of focus on the very big lots and the very big spaces between houses. And I think that's compounded by the fact that there's a lot of undeveloped land still. So there's this appreciation of sort of very small amounts of urban type density at about 1,000 to 1,500 square metres. And that somehow the majority of it is this very large lots, which is what I would call very low density. So in terms of what you call low, high, medium density, the numbers are all mixed up. But I think the important concept is that going into the new planning scheme, and I keep trying to reinforce this point in regards to the subdivision entitlement that exists and will exist, is that it really is very urban in nature. So, and I think it's what the representatives are sort of referring to as being high density, very urban in nature, which is not their perception of Blackstone Heights, because the majority of Blackstone Heights just, yeah, clearly simply doesn't look like that now, but it will, and it always was going to, because that entitlement was always there. So when I talk about density in this report, I come from a point of the current entitlement and what that would have looked like under the low density residential zone. And it's urban, but it's a bit bigger than the normal general res, but it's still going to be squarely urban in character. I hope that makes sense.
Thanks, Joe. Councillor Bower.
So just as a follow-up question, Joe, if that's what the planning scheme indicates, then we have very little room to move from what your recommendation is.
What we're proposing is a planning scheme amendment. Okay? And that amendment provides for a different configuration than and a land tenure being a strata scheme than what we would expect if Ross walked in with a normal subdivision that has an entitlement tomorrow, which is 1,600 square metres. So in terms of how much wriggle room council has, the decision to be made is whether groups of dwellings at about the 600 to 800 square metre sort of allocation size in groups with the bigger spaces in between is a worse or a better outcome than what he could walk in for tomorrow. And the point I tried to make in the report is that given that 1,500 square metres, which is an entitlement, what that would look like all over that land compared to what the differential between what a cluster of 600 to 800 square metre groupings were, I don't think is distinctly different enough in terms of urban in appearance. But the outcome with the clusters and the biggest spaces in between, which is the proposal, is a better environmental response to the land than what what you would walk in with a standard subdivision response. So you do have wriggle room, but that's the question. Is that a better or worse outcome in terms of the appearance of density and urbanness? I don't think the difference is so distinct, but I think the environmental outcomes are better with more space in between as required.
Thank you.
Councillor
Cameron.
Just to follow on the conversation we just had before about the traffic report, which was obviously done on a rather quiet day, and we had a conversation before about options to address that. Could you just go over that?
Okay, so I had a conversation with Richard Burke about some of the points that have been made in terms of the traffic counts and the overall capacity of the roads in the area. And we had that conversation not only in respect of this proposal, but some other, you know, some other proposals that we've got going on in the same area which are affecting traffic. So Richard's advice to me was that the traffic counts make negligible difference to the capacity of the roads. Those roads have a certain capacity and we're nowhere near capacity. But there are deficiencies in terms of junction treatments and some of the dispersal characteristics through the traffic network. And some interventions, so for example, like roundabouts at junctions, things that would make traffic flow better and make junctions improve better so that the perception of traffic impact is addressed. So it's not, the road capacity is there, but it's not functioning as well as it could. So as we've discussed, we're heading toward preparing over the next 2 to 3 months a comprehensive traffic and development plan for Blackstone Heights and Prospect Valley, looking at new junctions, dispersal links such as pushing through to Mount Leslie Road to get some of that traffic off and peel it off. The big ticket item is of course the secondary access through to Travellers Rest. Starting to look at those key infrastructure interventions and the thresholds as to when that needs to occur in terms of the development output.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, councillors. Any other comments, councillor Bauer?
Sorry, Joe, just in regards to that traffic work, as we know, most people will actually turn left, not right. So are we doing anything in conjunction with Launceston City Council as part of our considerations of that traffic? Because most of that traffic from Blackstone will actually go into Launceston, not, you know, so having an access from Travellers Rest, I'm not sure how useful that would be.
Julian?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Short answer is yes, Councillor. CEO of Launceston City and I have discussed entering into a joint assessment and strategic plan around traffic for both Launceston and Blackstone Prospect Park.
Councillors, any other questions, comments? No? No? I'll put a move back to the second of the motion, which was Councillor Cameron.
Nothing else to add, thank you.
No? As a move of the motion, Councillor Sherriff?
Nothing further to add, thanks.
Okay. I'll then put the motion as it sits at the moment. All those in favour, please say.
The motion is, Mr. Chair.
The motion is, as it is on your screen, so. I'll put the motion as it is. All those in favour, please say aye. Aye, and raise your hand, thank you. That is Bauer, Sherriff, King, Cameron, Kelly, Johnston, four. Those against. Temple, Sheriff, sorry, Temple, Terrell, Temple, Sindhu, and Knott. Thank you. Motion is passed. Thank you.
Just a second.
think she needs to go to the toilet. I want to put it in there. What's the time?
Okay. Sorry?
Can we
adjourn? Yes, we can. Well, adjourn to 5 minutes.
Let's shut the room for you. Just one second, everyone.
I thought
you needed it.
We're on. Okay. Okay. Corporate services 1, recommendation, Council. Councillor Kelly, Councillor Bower.
Sorry. Councillor Kelly.
Councillor Bower. Councillor Kelly has moved in motion.
Nope.
Councillor Bower, a seconder.
No, I was there.
Oh, good. Discussion, councillors.
Jesus, I
No discussion.
Have we got the recording back on?
Okay.
That was Steph Cameron, by the way.
All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Right. Right now. That's unanimous. Thank you. And knock this flag off in there.
No!
Corporate Services 2. Welcome to the Daily Justice.
You'll probably get the same questions you always get.
Doesn't it?
I know.
I'm going to ask him one.
Okay, would somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Motion as accepts. Councillor Kelly. Councillor Cameron, well done.
She didn't put her
hand out. Yes, she did. Councillor Kelly's a mover.
No comment.
Councillor Cameron.
No. She's dramatic, isn't she?
I've got ready my notes.
Justin, is there anything that we need to know going forward? I think you've sat at that end of the table for six meetings and never answered the question, so I actually need to ask a question.
So what are you here for?
Thank you very much. Councillor Kelly.
Yes, just
two questions, sir.
This one will be a really tricky one.
Turn to Michael.
Yeah, Justin, just to give you a bit of a acknowledgement that I do appreciate the graphs that you give us. Mm. They're quite easy to read and I do enjoy them. I'm trying to think of another question for you because you never get any. Hopefully someone else will find one for you.
Councillor Knox. Microphone, please, Councillor.
Just to change to page 1.
Four something?
Four, hopefully.
Page 438. 165.14% in the NWA territory. Thank you. Thank you.
Steve Bond. Cameron is seconded. Councillor Kelly is mover.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll put the motion all in favour. Let's say
aye.
Against? Councillor Temple?
Good.
Unanimous. Infrastructure one. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Councillor Kelly moves. Second up. Second Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor Kelly, any discussion?
No, I think it was a couple of changes that Jen made to what we had in front of us, but they need to be up on the board.
Yes.
Yes.
That's correct. Correct. Councillor Cameron, any discussion?
No, I'm happy with those couple of tweaks.
Thank you. Actually, hello there.
This one here.
4.4.
4.4. So the difference is?
Should be, will be approved on a case-by-case basis by council.
When I'm talking to Mike, so that is it, so.
Have you got the amendment?
That's it there.
Just up there.
Oh, no, I think I've cut and pasted it into the agenda. Sorry.
Okay.
Oh, no, chocolate
now.
Would you like a
change
to that?
Oh, we're on a diet.
Oh, that's your problem.
I'm on a diet too.
I think this one's true.
One
crack.
One
crack.
One crack.
You want a crack?
It should be my wife.
Oh,
yeah, so it is different there, so go for Jim.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, just an amendment to the wording as presented in the agenda. 4.4 will now read, a naming rights proposal will be considered on a case-by-case basis and approved by council. Any proposed sponsorship agreement which affects a council facility is to be provided to council for review before execution by the general manager.
Thank you, Jim. Any discussion, councillors? No. Put the motion in. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Unanimous. Thank you. Infrastructure 2, proposed road name. Somebody like to move? Councillor Chairman. Second up. Councillor Keane. Councillor Cameron, any discussion?
No.
Councillor Keane?
No, thank you.
Any discussion, councillors? No? Okay, put the motion, all those in favour, please say aye. Against? Unanimous, thank you. Alright, thanks, Joel. I didn't see you at the end of the day.
We can ask you some questions.
Governance 1. Councillor Kelly. You need to go somewhere, Councillor. No. Seconder? Second, Councillor Cameron.
That's good if she's got a question.
any discussion, Councillor Kelly is the mover?
No.
Thank you. Cameron?
No, thank you.
Councillors? Everyone happy? All those in favour? Against? Councillor Sinfield against? Thank you.
Councillor Sinfield against? Mm-hmm.
Yep. Governance 2. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second.
Oh, better go this
one. Second up, Kim. Councillor Cameron. Any discussion?
I say it every time, but it's a pleasure to be on this committee and to see the good work that what could be seen as a small amount of money can do for these organisations. So I'm always really happy to support them and always encourage people to put in some of the passions.
Thank you, Councillor King is the seconder. Any comments?
What
she said. Thank you, Councillor Kelly.
Just a question, maybe directed to Councillor Cameron. The Rural Revival World, that's a state organisation. I'm assuming that they have their own funding, but there might be a bit more background in it, I don't know. Could you add a bit more to that?
But other things work. But this is a particular project that they would usually seek funding for, and this is particularly placed for the Anne Valley residents, and we'll run out of Delane House. So I'm very happy to support it. It was just more that we wanted to ensure that it wasn't sort of, you know, five sessions with only one or two people at them, if that makes sense. That's hence the asterisk.
Okay. Anything else, councillors? If not, push the motion. All those in favour? Against? That was unanimous. Thank you. Governance 3, regional planning. Who would like to move? Matthew King, seconder. Second, Councillor Mott, thank you. Councillor King, is the mover.
Part of any organisation, it's imperative that we have an annual plan and quarterly reports that go alongside that. And happy to be part of an organisation that does largely what they say they're going to do.
Thanks, Heather. Councillor Cummings. Sorry, I'm going to get Councillor Mott as a seconder.
I just want that to go before I say something.
Ah.
I didn't see you there, Nate, and I just want to acknowledge your hard work you put into that, because that was quite complex and it was really helpful to have.
So this is the previous
item.
Does
that make sense? You did a good job, is what I'm trying to say. I'm pointing at you.
On the previous item. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes, that one.
Nothing, Councillor Mott.
I didn't see him there.
That's crazy. Stripping him up with it. Any discussion, councillors? Councillor Bell.
Just a question. So there are a number of in-progresses that have gone through internal processes but haven't come to us. And I'd like to know when they will come to us, because they're not actually carried over to the following quarterly KPIs. So when will they actually occur?
So any KPIs that aren't achieved remain carried over until next quarter. That is, if they're not achieved and reported on by the next quarter, they will continue to be highlighted there in red. We will report on why they're not achieved. The explanations that you see in that item set out the specifics of each of the individual ones. Are there any that you individually wanted to...
All of the ones that... pretty much relate to our economic development stuff, which I've been waiting for quite some time to come to us. So, yeah, I'm quite interested when they'll actually happen, especially around, I think there was an incentives program and a whole range of things that we actually indicated probably back in September-ish last year. So, yeah, and I noticed that they've gone through an internal process. So I just want to know when they're actually going to come to us.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, they'll come to you in the February workshop. It could be late February.
I look forward to seeing them.
Any other questions, councillors? No?
The late February workshop will be the date for it.
Yes.
Because I know it was going to be the second.
There is two in February.
No, you were right. It was in our diaries for the second.
It is. Through you, Mr. Mayor, the January workshop is on the 2nd of February.
Yeah.
We'll turn around the January workshop, if you like, because it couldn't quite fit in January.
Well,
I take that feedback. Thank you, Catherine.
Yeah.
The what we refer to as the February workshop is, I believe, the 23rd of February. Yep.
Well, the February workshop will be a big workshop, because the 2nd of February we won't be meeting as a workshop group. Sorry to let you know that. Just to let you know, so
we
decided that today, because we have the GM's performance review that day.
Exactly.
Is that right, Jim?
Cancel a few things.
Okay. So, put the motion. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Good.
Room closed.
Right, somebody like to move, somebody like to second the close the meeting for public discussion. So, Councillor Cameron, Councillor Knott, all those in favour? All unanimous, thank you. Councillor Kelly's left the meeting, but you'll pick it up.
Gosh, I didn't see him go. What time?
We stop recording, just to double check.
Yep.